You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 78. Got enough stuff for an episode for this week. But I am going to try and rush through it a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I'm not sure if you can tell in my voice or not. So I'll jump through the usuals, or I'll go through the usual stuff. Got the news, a game review for this week, entertainment, TV show review. In this case, it's a miniseries, so I'll talk about that. I am going to merge the Star Wars profile into the game review because it is actually a Star Wars game, so I'll talk about that. And we'll have this week's episode. So I will jump right into it. So the theme for this week's episode is transfer. So this is the movement of funds from one account to another. Pretty straightforward there. It is, as far as external transfers go, it's a transfer or change in ownership from one institution to another. It can be a transfer from one bank account to another, or from one company to another, depending on how those companies are related. Maybe they're sister companies, a parent, and it's a parent company to a subsidiary, or vice versa, depending on the relationship there. Or it can even be an internal account transfer. So let's say from one general ledger account to another. So maybe it's a reclassification, or maybe it's changing that balance because it was an internal change from that one account to the other. It can also help improve financial returns depending on what kind of transfer you're making. So let's say it is a bank transfer. You may be transferring to a bank account that has a better rate of return, or you're closing or you're paying off certain accounts to close them down because they are old accounts, or you are consolidating to have all of your funds in one place. So it depends on what kind of transfer you're doing or how you want to use that transfer, but a transfer can be used in a variety of different ways. So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Super Mario Run is going to launch on Android currently in March of 2017. I didn't see a specific date as of yet, but you'll see that, or hopefully in a couple of months, or as soon as probably about a month and a half now, we'll have Super Mario Run on the Android platform. In related news, though, Nintendo has scheduled their next mobile game called Fire Emblem Heroes to release on Android and iOS on February 2nd, so it's coming up, so look out for that. I didn't see anything as far as price or how the pay structure is going to be, or if it's going to be free to play or anything like that, so we'll see what happens there. The Google app for Android got an update to now hold searches or save searches for when your connection is spotty or you lose connection, and then provide the results and do the search in the background when you do have a better connection. So if you are traveling, or you happen to go through a tunnel, or you're going through an area that's spotty, or you lose a connection or anything like that, or you just happen to be changing connections so it loses it or anything like that, Google will save that search so you don't actually have to resume, or if you're in a rush and you don't have time to finish it, it'll save it for later. I think it's coming to it is coming to Android first. I don't know how, if it'll come to iOS later, but that seems like a good feature, especially for low bandwidth connections. Next up, though, for those of you who are Firefox users, Instapaper has now released an official extension rather than just a plugin or add-on for Firefox, so you can easily save your pages in Firefox that much smoothly. And finally, Microsoft is rolling out an update for Cortana for Android to soon work on your lock screen, so you can have that set up, and if you want to access Cortana rather than Google Now, then that will be an option. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's game review. And for this week, it is Star Wars Force Arena. So the game released, and it is available for Android and iOS. It is a game where you play against other players by building up your deck of Star Wars characters and basically playing in battles against other people based on their decks. So essentially, you'll build up that deck based on the characters that you want to have. So if you're, for example, on the dark side, you'll have dark side characters and backups. So for example, where I'm at, I have Director Krennic from Rogue One and the Grand Inquisitor Star Wars Rebels, and then I have various related back-end characters and ships. So I have a TIE Fighter, I have Stormtroopers, I think the Davaronian Guard and things like that. And then on the light side, similar things. So, for example, at the moment, I have Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, and then I have Rebels characters and I think a few other here or there. I forget the other few I have. So depending on where you, what kind of deck you want and what side of the Force you want to be on, you can build up that appropriate deck. And as you fight in battles and win and get points and all that, you can also upgrade those characters to get more health, more abilities, capacities, and all of that. You can also trade your cards. So if there's cards and characters that you want to get rid of, so if you prefer to have a only dark side deck, you can get rid of all your light side characters and get various in-game goods to upgrade your other characters as well. And then the central point of the game is to fight in 1v1 or 2v2 battles. So you can play on your own or you can team up with your friends, or I haven't really gotten into the guild part of it yet. But playing your guilds and things like that to play those battles and things like that. If the game sounds a little familiar, it is a little bit like Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, where you get various Star Wars characters and play in battles. But while that was a little, while that had a more linear play, and you did have to level up in order to unlock special characters and other special characters and regular characters, in this case, you can get any character anytime and upgrade at any time. So it's just a matter of the luck of the draw for which characters you get. So there's no real preference to one character over another, but you can in one instance get a special character or a leader type character like Krennic or the Grand Inquisitor, or get a regular character like a Stormtrooper or a Davaronian Guard or anything like that, and then upgrade as you go. So the game, and then on the Galaxy of Heroes side, I believe it was more of unlocking characters as you go, playing in a linear format or in special battles. So there's similar gameplay formats on each side, but Force Arena is more a specialized game where it is a card, more of building up your deck, and you can select exactly who you want to keep, who you want to get rid of, trade out characters you don't want, and then level up as you go. So as I mentioned, the game is available for Android and iOS. It is available for free, and then you can have in-game purchases to get crystals and things like that as well. But overall, the game is pretty cool. I do like the graphics. It does have a nice 3D overlay as well, or 3D overview look, so as you play. And then movement is pretty straightforward. If you want to move your characters, you simply tap to the point where you want them to go, or if you want them to sprint, you can double tap. And then there's a countdown based on how soon you can launch your characters, and then if your leader character dies, they will respawn after a short time at your base. And then the point in the 1v1 battles is to take out all the enemy turrets and eventually take out their shield generator to take out their base. So overall, it's worth playing that Star Wars Force Arena in the Google Play Store or the iOS App Store. And if that's your kind of game, then it's definitely worth playing. Or if you're a Star Wars fan and want to try it out, then definitely give it a shot. And the draw for me is that they're including characters from all the different characters in the various Star Wars movies. So it is including, for example, as I mentioned, Director Krennic from Rogue One. There's also the Grand Inquisitor and Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels. You have Shore Troopers, Stormtroopers, TIE Fighters, Rebels, and all of those. That's about as far as I've gone so far. So I don't know. I don't have the full list or more a bigger list, but I can imagine based on what I've seen so far that there are a full list of characters as well. So as always, I'll have a link to the video review in the show notes, or you can visit youtube.com/patelN01 for that review. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the entertainment segment. So only one bit of news in that the Tupac Shakur biopic is currently set to release on June 16th, 2017. I did have a bit article about the Star Trek Discovery series that was going to be coming to the CBS streaming app, but I guess there was another delay in the filming and production and all of that, so I think it's delayed yet again. So I didn't really want to talk about it as it is, or talk about it too much with set dates, as I guess it is supposed to be postponed a little bit more again. So moving on to what I watched, I had a chance to watch a couple of the usual stuff. So MacGyver Season 1, Episode 13, Large Blade, as well as Star Wars Rebels Season 3, Episode 13, Warhead. I also had a chance to watch The Untouchables. I didn't really have too much to watch over the weekend, so I figure while I'm on Amazon Prime, I'll see what I can watch, and that came up, so I decided to watch it again. And then I had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 10, The Patriot, where we learn a little bit more about the history behind the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the fallout that we get from that by the end of the episode. I was reading an article where they said something about, I think it was Luke Cage, if I remember right, but I didn't really see the connection while watching it, so I'm going to look at that a little bit later. It might be something that's upcoming as well, so it was kind of a weird reference, so I'll check into that later. I also had a chance to catch up on Vikings this week, so Season 4, Episodes 16, 17, and 18. It deals with the death of Ragnar and the revenge of all the Vikings based on that and how they're building up to fight against the Saxons. So pretty good set of episodes. I'm not sure why I forgot to check up on that or watch that over the past couple of weeks. So I did catch up this week to stay on top of it. But overall, very good episodes, well produced. I like the fight, the infighting that's going on between the other earls and kings of the Vikings, as well as the internal fighting between the four sons of Ragnar. So with that being said, as far as the TV show for review for this week, I had a chance to watch the Night Manager miniseries. It's available on Amazon Prime. I'm not sure if it was on TV or not, but it keeps coming up. And while the first episode was kind of slow, it's kind of the reason why I didn't really get into it early on, I decided to finally give it a full watch and see what I think. So the series itself released in the United States on February 21st, 2016. Each episode has an approximate runtime of 60 minutes per episode. That's commercial free on Amazon Prime. And they're right around there, you know, 57, 61, 59, things like that. A summary of the series is that the night manager of a Cairo hotel is recruited to infiltrate an arms dealer's inner circle. Is getting an IMDb rating of 82% with 92% critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes and an 88% audience rating, so very well received. I will agree with that for the most part in that it is a pretty good series, but it is kind of slow in its production. I do like the performances of Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie in that they have a good... It seems like it's a good pairing as far as their interactions with each other and how much time they spend with each other throughout the series. As far as what to expect from the series as a whole, it is basically a spy movie, an undercover operation by a British agent to get into this international arms dealer and to bring him down. So I'm not going to really spoil the end point of it, but it is based on a novel of the same name, so bit of an expectation there. I might end up reading the novel as well, just to see if it was, see how much they kept true to it. But I did like the show enough that where it was well produced, kind of along the lines of, I'm not sure what show I'll really compare it to right now as far as spy stuff goes. I want to say it's well produced like Game of Thrones, but since we have a limited set of characters, it is a lot easier to accomplish in 6 episodes. As far as a review goes, though, the only thing that really bugged me is that the villain, which is played by Hugh Laurie, his name was Richard Roper. So my first thought early on was the villain's name is Mr. Roper, and I couldn't get the whole Three's Company reference out of my head. So it kind of bugged me that he's the villain. But getting past that, the villain himself is actually good. We see how he plays he has a good persona while being a bad guy at the same time. All it seems to get his trust, though, he meaning Richard Roper, is to not get drunk and perform a humanitarian deed. So it was surprisingly easy to get into his inner circle, but apparently we also learn that he is self-aware and he is still wary of anyone he brings into his organization. So even though it seems like you have his trust, it still takes time to get higher into his inner circle. Next up, though, all secret buildings should be vaguely named for where they are physically located. So I'm not sure if this is a real thing or not, but the MI6 building that is portrayed throughout the series and that we also see in the last couple of James Bond movies, at least Spectre, I forget if it was in the couple before that, but in the night manager, they kept calling it River House. So I kept thinking that maybe everything should be called that just as a way of making it sound that much cooler, that much more vague and intriguing. So, for example, when I'm driving, I'm in my vehicle road or something like that, and be vaguely conspicuous about that. So it was an intriguing name, but it was a really, I think it was one of the few things that they kept calling up regularly. So a pretty interesting thing there. And finally, the one time that no one trusts a new guy, and or the one time everyone trusts a new guy and he actually steals the documents. So the whole premise here of bringing down Richard Roper, where Tom Hiddleston's character, I'll just call him Jonathan Bynes, as he does get a couple of aliases throughout the show, but he steals the documents and gets away with it for the most part. And it seems that basically early on or throughout, as soon as it happens, that Roper trusts everybody else except he trusts everybody who he doesn't, who probably couldn't get away with it, and doesn't trust the people who are actually close to him. So it was one of those things that kind of actually bugged me, where he should actually trust, he should have trusted the people who he's been working with, or start there and see what they turn up and then make his decision. I would have, I mean, as a international arms dealer, I would have, as him, I would have probably gone over or gone to Jonathan Pine and see what he did and go impress him that much more, because he is a new guy and he hasn't gained that much trust. And then also along the lines of, since they went through their effort of making him the new front man, so shouldn't they make him, or see if it is him, especially since he is a new guy and this happened coincidentally after they brought him on. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, want to reach out to me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, you can find this show and all prior episodes and social media links, subscription links, and all that good stuff on the website at PatelN01.com. You can find the video reviews, as I mentioned earlier, on YouTube at YouTube.com/PatelN01. And of course, you can find this show and all shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that's all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.